This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Here we go. It's hour number three. Chad Hartman, Dave Harrigan, and my former intern, Henry Lake. What?
How you doing, Chad?
I'm doing well, H. I wasn't mean to you when you started the fan, was I?
No, you actually weren't.
Thank you.
Pretty good to me.
Pretty good.
So they'll like your surprise.
I mean, but now that, you know, we've had a relationship for 20-plus years, he's terrible.
Yeah.
Didn't buy my ice cream for charity. Didn't buy my cookies for charity.
Actually, he's
got a couple extra dollars in
actually, pocket. I did. I bought like five
Yeah, right.
Pints.
Wow. Really?
Yeah. Not this year, but last year we did.
How about this year?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
the kids,
trying to help the kids.
Kids still continue to get sick at the hospital.
Yeah. And, so. I mean, I had to tell him that Anthony Edwards was going to be a star. He was a big LaMelo Ball guy.
People know the truth.
No,
the people know.
You know you're 100%. All right, let's get to it. Mm-hmm. Tyreek Hill, for folks who don't know, there was a recent survey, NFL.com, which labeled Tyreek Hill the best player in the National Football League. I don't think he's quite that, but
no,
that's
ridiculous.
He is a phenomenal football player. Super Bowl winner with the Chiefs. Huge moneymaker with the Miami Dolphins and still a great wide receiver. Second best wide receiver in the game, the guy here I would take. So he's driving to their game as the season begins, and he is stopped by police, not for going 100, let's be clear, that's nonsense, over the limit, and also doesn't have a seatbelt on. And he is approached, and we see this from body camera footage. And at first, he is cooperative. And the officer makes a comment of, why didn't you have your seatbelt on? And starts to walk away briefly. And then Tyreek Hill, after having his window down, the window goes up. Okay? And, by the way, he should have kept his window down. Okay? And I want you to chime in on any of this where if you disagree. They then react, roll your window down, roll your window down. By the way, they should react, roll your window down. Did they go a little further at that point? I don't know. We could debate it. But then they did. Then they did. And he's in a very unique, expensive car. So how the door goes up, it's not the easiest car to get out of. And they pull him out of the car very aggressively and put him face down on the pavement while they're handcuffing.
Knee in his back.
Yeah, exactly. Knee in his back, right? And I get it. This is... And everybody in this room has great respect for the majority of officers in this country. Okay? Great respect.
Without question. Yes.
And this is an incredibly difficult job. And you should cooperate with the police. And Hill been more cooperative at the start. But to take it that far is wrong. And they continue when he's now walked over to the curb, and as he's about to sit down, because he doesn't sit down this snap of the fingers fast, he's pushed very aggressively down to the ground. That is excessive again.
As he is telling them that he has recently had knee surgery, so he doesn't want to get hurt.
Exactly. And he did have knee surgery. Calais Campbell, teammate, longtime player in the league, stops, sees this, and pulls over because he's concerned. Now, he does angle his car in a way where it's potentially obstructing traffic, which he should have kind of pulled up parallel. But then the officers are very upset that he is stopping. Get out of here. And he also is talking to who? Drew Rosenhaus. Drew Rosenhaus is either a famous agent, an infamous agent, but he is a successful agent in the National Football League. And when Tyreek rolled up the window, guess who he was calling? He was calling Drew Rosenhaus. That's his guy. Drew, help me out. Help me out. And that's what Calais Campbell's doing. And now there's video footage of this that I'm talking about, that Henry's talking about, and there is a debate about how this all was handled. So you, as a...
And the video footage is the body cam footage.
It is the body cam footage. And again, we're having a debate, as we've had in America many times, about police, about an individual, race. Was race a factor? Was race a not factor? So you, as a journalist, as a talk show host, as a black man, as a man who respects police, give me your main observations on this video.
Well, clearly, in my opinion, there's no debate here. Okay? There's no debate here to be had. What the police did was excessive and unnecessary. The number one word that I would use is unnecessary. So let me put it in this context. And I want to be transparent and open about this. I am not a fan of Tyreek Hill. I was in Kansas City when Tyreek Hill was drafted to the Kansas City Chiefs. The issues that he had prior to getting into the National Football League, I have an extreme amount of issue with him putting his hands on women.
Exactly.
He choked out the mother of his first child. I mean, they're just, I don't like the guy. Let me just say that.
Yeah.
But
he's got
a checkered past.
He has a checkered past. Now, there's one person of the four officers who says that's Tyreek Hill. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure everybody else knows that. So it's not like
doesn't matter.
Right.
But that should not matter at all.
That's what I'm getting at.
I have to take that out of the equation.
Right.
Regardless of whether I like Tyreek Hill, am a fan of Tyreek Hill, hate Tyreek Hill, that has nothing to do with the fact that this was unnecessary where the police took it.
Yep.
Now, with regards to how this started, Tyreek Hill is extremely arrogant. And that arrogance was on full display on the body camera. He did not conduct himself in a way in which I would want him to conduct himself, or I would conduct myself in dealing with the police.
Right.
But you got to take that out of the equation. With regards to dealing with people, regardless of whether they're the most humble or they're the most arrogant, you can't do what they did. That was just unacceptable. Yanking him out of the vehicle in that way, no one can say that that was something that should have went down. Calais Campbell has been well documented, and they probably didn't know who he was, so
out. Right.
But he is one of the most respected football players.
Highly regarded what he's done off the field.
Walter Payton, Man of the Year.
Right. Yep.
All he's doing is standing there observing and just trying to be supportive of his teammate, and he ends up in handcuffs?
Yep.
So my take on the entire situation is that Tyreek Hill, to me, was somebody that, and is somebody that is entitled. He is somebody that is arrogant. He is somebody that is not going to act appropriately, in my opinion, in a lot of different things in life.
Entitled is the right word.
But regardless of all of that, it should not have gotten there.
Okay. I want people to react through text, 651-461-9226. Let's go back to the start. Because you're right. This is an example. And by the way, I don't want to hear all athletes do this, because I've been around athletes my entire life. So is Henry. There are individuals who are athletes who are entitled, who are jerks. There are other people who are great human beings who you would want as your friends, as your partner. So stop with the broad basing of that. He does act like, I'm Tyreek Hill.
Absolutely.
I'm setting my own rules. And he absolutely unequivocally should not have rolled up the window and think, hey, I'll just call Drew Rosenhaus. You guys wait for me, and I'll get you when I want to.
Just the attitude of don't tap on my window.
Don't tap on my window. And he says that
repeatedly,
right? And so I get it that an officer who's aware of what might be going on is going to be agitated to some level. And it, again, is an incredibly difficult job. But there is a way also when he now is rolling the windows down, the funky doors go up, where you then assume more of the control. And we've watched it too many times where officers have to take so much abuse and they're screaming at and yelling at, and it's excessive. So this isn't the first time they've dealt with an arrogant person.
Yeah.
So if you want to show a little verbal force, you want to show we're not doing this again, fine. But to take it to the point to flip him over on his face, knee in the back, to me, is absolutely taking it too far.
And not only that, part of the job, whether we like it or not, with regards to law enforcement, they are not supposed to escalate situations. And that is what happened here. We all have looked at the body cam footage.
Particularly the one officer.
Yes. You just like de-escalation tactics and things are, I mean, that's what they're trained to do.
Yep. It's a huge part of their training.
So when they don't utilize that part of the training, it becomes very unfortunate.
Yeah. And I want you to text. And if you want to disagree, you can disagree. You want to agree. You want to call in, you can. 651-461-9226. Well, I'm going to tell you this. If this is going to turn from text or callers, you hate police, get out of here. Because nobody in this room hates police. I know Henry and I know a number of police officers. I'm about to play golf with a police officer in a couple days. So get out of here on this. The majority, the overwhelming majority of police officers are good, very good to great at what they do. Are there individuals who are not? Yeah. Are there individuals who have bad moments? Yes. Like every profession. So let's take each individual moment and react to that. But then I also want to get to this, because listen, this is a state that is showing more diversity, but is still more of a white state than others. And I do think this, Henry, in fact, let's stay with this now. There are individuals who can empathize with others, a person of color, and say, I believe you when you feel like you've been treated different, including with law enforcement, and show some of that compassion. And others will say, never happens. Never happens. There are times in life where we have to offer observations, even if you haven't walked in someone's shoes. And if the two of us leave an event 250 times at the same time, whether it's in Minneapolis or somewhere else in major cities, there are going to be times we're treated differently.
Absolutely.
That's just a fact.
Yeah.
And you live it every day. And in the life that I've been exposed to, I've witnessed it many, many times. So what do you say to the person who says, okay, get out of here with driving while black. That gets exaggerated. And you guys are bringing up race when race shouldn't be brought up.
I mean, people that are adults and they are aware of what's going on in society or how society is, if that is where your mind is, you're in denial and I just can't help you. I just can't help you. We've seen enough things throughout our lives or throughout history, or we just recently dealt with the George Floyd stuff just a few years ago. If you're at that particular point, you're just flat out in denial. I remember my first year out of college, I had a job and I actually it was one night. It was actually during the time that I was interning for you. I was coming from one of the Wolves games and there was a bunch of traffic as I'm driving down 7th. Yep. Where that incinerator was back. This was long before, Target Field and all that stuff,
right.
Whatever. And everybody is bumper to bumper. And as I'm getting to that light to make the left on Olson Highway, and no one, we're just all moving slow. There's an officer that's on the curb and he's kind of monitoring everything, whatever. We make eye to eye contact. And I'm just, I'm driving.
Yep.
The moment I make the left, he hops off the curb, gets behind me, pulls me over. For no reason at all, and there's no reason for me to make this up. For no reason at all. And I'm like, well, why did you pull me over? And this night, he said that I was speeding. I'm like, none of us are speeding. We're bumper to bumper coming down the hill, and it's bad weather. And so I did the thing of I wasn't going to just sit there and take it. I'm going to go to court. I showed up in court, this, that, the other, whatever. And the interesting thing is the day that I showed up to court, because I have my diagrams, I want to talk to the judge and everything.
Yeah.
Outside of the courthouse downtown, I saw the officer that pulled me over.
Yeah.
I went into the courtroom. They didn't come in. They dismissed it. They just threw it out.
You showed up.
And it was because I showed up. And this, I was like, this is just a waste of my time. I had to leave work and all this stuff. And this is 1998 or 99.
Yeah. You have dozens and dozens and dozens of those examples of friends. Of friends.
I'm talking about personal. Yeah.
I'm talking about friends of yours who are a person of color.
Mm-hmm.
I also do of friends of mine in cases, three or four cases where I was at the same place, including my friend Darren Nelson, who you know well, and others. And by the way, that doesn't mean either one of us is saying every time a person's over who's black or a person of color, well, it's only because of it.
Let me just say something real quick.
But there are examples where it raises eyebrows or it's flat out true, and to me, that was one of them.
I always want to push back on the narrative that a person like myself or many people of color are anti-police. I have never in my life, as somebody that has family members in law enforcement and many friends in law enforcement, I've never been anti-law enforcement or anti-cop. What people are saying is we are anti-abusive individuals in law enforcement and things that take place that way.
There are individuals you can point out in a profession and say they're incompetent, they were unprofessional, and that doesn't mean you are broad-brushing the entire profession.
Agreed.
We can do that in so many other professions, but for some people listening, if you do that with one person, police, you hate the police. Okay, we got calls lined up. We got a bunch of texts. Henry Sear, we're talking Tyreek Hill. We went long that segment because the topic matters. It's 23 past 2. To your calls and texts, when we come back here on CCO.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Henry Lake is here. Are you on
Final pitch tonight.
Okay, final pitch.
Final pitch.
We'll see if the ball club actually shows up. Chad, if people are making the argument that all black people are anti-police, they must be really foolish. Well, he said stupid, so let's go with the words. Those anti-police protests regarding George Floyd, so individuals are race in those protests, and not every black person is against police.
That's exactly what I just said. Yep. And I'm not looking at the text or anything like that. You are, but like that sentiment has to stop. When a person of color, anybody, says that this particular incident is wrong and something unnecessary happened, you're not anti-cop at all. That's just ridiculous.
Would be great if Mr. Hill told us whether or not he was speeding. We start from there. Well, we start by, at least at this point, I'm believing the reports, he was not wearing a seatbelt. I don't know if it's a primary offense or a secondary offense. And again, we've made this clear repeatedly in this conversation. Both of us thought he acted entitled, arrogant, in the first initial reactions.
And disrespectful.
Let's just be honest.
Yeah.
But then, because he acts that way, and I don't want to act that way myself. Henry doesn't want to act with himself. He's not encouraging people to do that. I get how your temperature can raise a little bit, but as you said, you are trained to deal with all sorts of people.
Yeah.
And it's a lot easier to do that in a classroom than it is in real life. However, they were excessive and how far they went.
And
clear
just,
cut to me. You don't have to agree.
And
to
me and Chad Hartman don't like the way that he dealt or talked to people. But just because he's arrogant and he talked to people disrespectfully, which we don't endorse, that doesn't give another person the right to take it where they took it. That's just, you can't do that. And Calais Campbell did nothing. It just I just don't understand how people. There's one other thing though that I do want to bring up.
Yeah, sure.
With regards to law enforcement, and because I think it's a problem, is, and it continues to paint the picture that there's a lot of issues with law enforcement. Is that as much as I love and respect law enforcement and they put their lives on the line and all that stuff, they have to stop putting out these statements. And then when you get the footage, it doesn't mesh.
Yeah.
There's way too many times in the history of this country where they say, well, this happened, this happened, this happened, and then roll tape.
Yeah.
It's not, it doesn't, it's
not even debate.
Because what happens then is,
including the George Floyd.
Yes. The press release.
Killing, the initial press release wasn't close to what happened.
Because what ends up happening, what ends up happening is there continues to be a level of distrust in this country when people perceive you as lying.
Yeah. No.
So
you're
that,
right.
We have to work on that.
All right, let's get to a few more texts. Is there any responsibility for civilians to take into consideration what a police officer is going through that day? It's easy to say the police is the professional, and they should do that every time. It just seems like a double standard not to ask the public to do that for the people who are out to protect them.
We do. Are people listening to the segment or not? Like, we've addressed Tyreek Hill. He is entitled. He is a child. He is somebody that I do not...
Arrogant. Acted that way.
People have to understand there are people in this world who are arrogant, entitled. They have all the resources. They're just not good people. Because a person's not a good person or they're a snob doesn't mean that you just are entitled yourself to take it there. Like, what part? I don't understand what part of the conversation people are not understanding.
More text. When you raise a tinted window after being pulled over, all bets are off. You are endangering the officer's life by inhibiting his ability to see what you're doing inside. This is yet another compliance problem. People need to understand you must listen to police. It's inconvenient, but you must comply for everyone's safety. I agree that it is fraught with concern when it's a tinted window and it's down. I agree 1,000%. Then the funky door is pulled up. He's right there. He's on the phone. There's no weapon. There's nothing. You pull him out or he gets out. If you want to even cuff him at that point because of resistance, okay. But on the ground, knee in his back, to me, that is clear cut too far.
Listen, this is one thing that the listeners have to get through their craniums. Is regardless of whether Henry Lake, Chad Hartman, Dave Harrigan likes it or not, the onus is on law enforcement to de-escalate. The onus is on them. It's not on Tyreek Hill to be a good actor. It's on them to de-escalate the situation, not to escalate it. And we don't have to like that because it seems unfair yep. because we're all human beings, but that's just part of the job.
Let's do this. Let's stay with it for one more segment, and we'll take some more texts. If you can you hang for a little bit
real
longer?
Quick, yep.
Yeah,
yep.
And then we'll even talk a little sports before you get out of here. It's 33 past 2. Henry Lake in. We're talking Tyreek Hill. I certainly understand you and don't always have to agree with us, and you can express that through a text or a phone call. Keep them coming. 651-461-9226. Okay, let's get to this part of the conversation because we both have established that the officers were excessive. We both have established that Hill was arrogant.
Yep.
Okay, and entitled. So just this text, this portion of it. Another case is someone simply not complying with police orders. We see it over and over again every day, and it only gets worse. So I wrestle with this on a lot of topics. Is it getting worse, or do we have, now we have body cameras, we have X, we have YouTube, we have so many ways for all of us to see it. Do we think there's more of it in 2024 compared to, let's say, 30 years ago? Or we just have all these platforms to show us what's going on?
I think that's a great question.
Because I go back and forth.
I don't know that it's that we're getting more disrespectful. I think that there was a moment here over the course of the last maybe year or two where it just seemed like everybody was so upset and just frustrated with things that have happened in the country, and maybe we're taking it out a little bit on law enforcement. I do think that there was some of that sentiment, mm-hmm. but do I think that it's much more different now than back when it was Rodney King and stuff like that? Probably not. We have a lot more. We got body cameras, we got cell phones, we got all that stuff. So I think in that particular point, I'm not sure. But let me say this. And I get what the texter is saying. But the reality is, we're talking about unnecessary behavior. Complying, we would all love for everybody to comply.
You should.
Right? You should comply.
Yeah.
The reality is, not everybody's going to comply.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean.
And then how far to go?
That you get the pass to do whatever the hell you want.
Nope.
That's just not how it works. Like, I don't know
Both ways.
Both ways. Yeah. Absolutely.
Both ways. Another text along the similar lines. This is a perfect time for you to bring that up. We need to incentivize police for their presence, hence better citizen behavior, instead of rewarding police for citations. I think the awareness, how do I say this? The awareness after Floyd did a lot. Okay? It did a lot that was good, and it did a lot that sadly a part of the discourse has turned into so much of the discourse in society today. You're either on my team or you're on the wrong team.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We have watched more use of body cameras. We have watched more individuals who are willing to speak out about the rare police officers who shouldn't be on the force when 10, 20, 30 years ago, that never happened. The whole blue line situation. We've also watched other individuals, citizens, who do feel entitled, do feel like quickly that you're overreacting when really they're not. And we also see the balance of individuals who have a greater appreciation for police. But what happens too much, and I'm going to emphasize this from the first segment, is people just go to their default. And a new incident happens like this. And before they see the body camera, before they read about it, they just have arrived at their opinion.
Yep.
I know exactly what happened. It's bad police. It's an entitled athlete. Now, the caller who was on with Adam and Jordana for a while today was I knew it was an athlete right away, and Adam pushed back and said, how? No, you didn't.
No.
If you recognize Tyreek Hill, yes, you did. If you recognize things around Hard Rock, but no, you didn't. And there's just the generalizing,
the
even
stereotype.
On the complex, the stereotype of an officer, of an athlete, of a black man. Man, and it's just not that tough to look, hey, I do have opinions, I have a past, but let me see what happened here. And by the way, I'm also allowed to say, you know, I normally go this way, but in this case, it was the opposite.
And in a lot of situations, well, the way that we should be looking at it is in the context of each stop or each incident or each story should be evaluated based on the circumstances of that situation.
Yep.
But that's just not how we operate. And let me say this real quickly about the comply part. We're just, you know, no one in this room is going to disrespect law enforcement. We would not act like Tyreek Hill.
No.
But with that aside, because we would all comply, and to me, he was complying but being disrespectful. All right? He was complying but being disrespectful.
Reluctantly at first.
Yeah. But let's say this. What part of the training in the manual was what they did? None of it. So we can sit here and we can talk about comply all we want. It's not, they're not trained where they're supposed to take that specific stop to that level.
And here's
just not in the manual that they're supposed to do that. They made it excessive and they made it unnecessary.
Yeah. There's also a little bit of this, too, where if you have multiple officers and the one officer is more aggressive than others, and this was a huge debate in Chauvin and the murder of George Floyd, we have to convince the other officers to step in this case, Manny, I forget his last name, Manny. We got it under control.
Yep.
Okay, Manny, let me jump in and do this a little bit. Relax. I got it. He was a bleep at the start, but now we've got him. He's out of the car. Again, we're pulling him over for a few miles over the speed limit and a seatbelt. And again, he should have kept the window up the entire time. I get that we were concerned about what could happen.
We have to calm down.
We're past that now.
We have to de-escalate. Look, I'll tell you this right now. One of the schools that I worked at years ago, one of my colleagues is the mother of Officer King, one of the young officers that was part of the George Floyd thing.
Sure.
And you think about that when you're a young officer and you're seeing these older, you know, the elders that are doing. I mean,
Chauvin was a training officer.
Yes, yes.
I mean, and Lane just came out, and that was Dave. That was a debate we had often. You chime in here too. That it is the law. It is a requirement of the officers to do it. But I also will add, it is harder. So much harder in the reality to step in when you're a few days on the force and here's a person who's a 20-year vet and you're saying, should we turn him over?
Yeah.
Should we turn him over? But you're now required to step in. But I get it. It's easy for us at 247 in a studio to have this.
And that's my point.
Theoretical conversation.
It's easier to say, well, they should step. It ain't. It's more complex than that.
It is. What do you want to say?
No, he's the guy that these officers were told, hey, look to him. He's the example. He's going to teach you how to do the job.
Yep. How confident are you the Twins are going to make the playoffs?
Ooh, that poll says everything.
I don't think that confident is the word. Do I think that they'll make the postseason? Yeah, but confidence? Yeah, I'm not confident.
I was surprised.
They win tonight, though. Pablo gets it done.
Pablo right now. Right now it's Pablo. Bailey, and good luck with everybody else.
Yeah.
It really is, because Richardson, the last,
But I'm not mad at Festa and Woods Richardson because these guys have been put in a spot that no one thought that in this season we were going to have to lean on them.
Well, you know, another thing you've watched.
Where's Paddock?
Like your Royals. Look at all the players the Royals
have. Royals.
Yeah, well, you're a Casey guy.
Barbecue.
Yeah, I could go for some of that KC barbecue.
Q39 right now.
Let's go. Look at the players they added. This club added a guy who I think pitched on my little league team. You know? And don't tell me payroll wasn't a part of it. Okay? And that's it. A lot could change. Alston Correa, out of nowhere, was optimistic. But we watched this before, and you're there all the time, where one day he's optimistic, next day, guess what? Relapse.
I've said this all year long. The starting rotation has exceeded my expectations. They really have. Because everybody thought that with Kenta gone and with Sonny Gray gone, they were going to massive drop. It hasn't been that.
Yeah.
So I'm going to give them props. The offense, inconsistent.
Yeah.
The biggest weakness of this team to me has been the bullpen. Duran is just, he's the most overrated twin. In the order, the most overrated.
He's 22 or 24 in save chance.
We are enamored with Velo and big time spots. He screws up.
Yeah.
That's just the bottom line. Well, now I'm not going to sit here and say that
Jax has been great.
He's been great. He's the most reliable guy in that bullpen.
Oh, by far. And Sands has been a surprise. They missed Stewart, I think, a lot.
Yeah, he was great last year.
And it's not an automatic. Now they move Varland back, that he's just automatically going to be the guy he was last year. But he should have been in that bullpen a long time ago. Really do. Thank you for coming in.
Yep, it's all good.
Final pitch with H. Lick after the Twins and Angels tonight. Jason will lead us up to his show in a matter of minutes. Okay, let's get to this part of the conversation because we both have established that the officers were excessive. We both have established that Hill was arrogant.
Yep.
Okay, and entitled. So just this text, this portion of it. Another case is someone simply not complying with police orders. We see it over and over again every day, and it only gets worse. So I wrestle with this on a lot of topics. Is it getting worse, or do we have, now we have body cameras, we have X, we have YouTube, we have so many ways for all of us to see it. Do we think there's more of it in 2024 compared to, let's say, 30 years ago? Or we just have all these platforms to show us what's going on?
I think that's a great question.
Because I go back and forth.
I don't know that it's that we're getting more disrespectful. I think that there was a moment here over the course of the last maybe year or two, wherever, where it just seemed like everybody was so upset and just frustrated with things that have happened in the country, and maybe we're taking it out a little bit on law enforcement. I do think that there was some of that sentiment.
Mm-hmm.
But do I think that it's much more different now than back when it was Rodney King and stuff like that? Probably not. We have a lot more. We got body cameras. We got cell phones. We got all that stuff. So I think in that particular point, I'm not sure. But let me say this. And I get what the texter is saying. But the reality is we're talking about unnecessary behavior. Complying, we would all love for everybody to comply.
You should. Right?
You should comply.
Yeah.
The reality is, not everybody's going to comply.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean.
And then how far to go?
That you get the pass to do whatever the hell you want.
Nope.
That's just not how it works. Like, I don't know
Both ways.
Both ways. Yeah. Absolutely.
Both ways. Another text along the similar lines. This is a perfect time for you to bring that up. We need to incentivize police for their presence, hence better citizen behavior, instead of rewarding police for citations. I think the awareness, how do I say this? The awareness after Floyd did a lot, okay? It did a lot that was good, and it did a lot that sadly a part of the discourse has turned into so much of the discourse in society today. You're either on my team or you're on the wrong team,
mm-hmm.
right? We have watched more use of body cameras. We have watched more individuals who are willing to speak out about the rare police officers who shouldn't be on the force when 10, 20, 30 years ago, that never happened. The whole blue line situation. We've also watched other individuals, citizens, who do feel entitled, do feel like quickly that you're overreacting when really they're not. And we also see the balance of individuals – who have a greater appreciation for police. But what happens too much, and I'm going to emphasize this from the first segment, is people just go to their default. And a new incident happens like this. And before they see the body camera, before they read about it, they just have arrived at their opinion.
Yep.
I know exactly what happened. It's bad police. It's an entitled athlete. Now, the caller who was on with Adam and Jordana for a while today was a, well, I knew it was an athlete right away, and Adam pushed back and said, how? No, you didn't.
No.
If you recognize Tyreek Hill, yes, you did. If you recognize things around Hard Rock, but no, you didn't. And there's just the generalizing,
even
on the complex, the stereotype of an officer, of an athlete, of a black man. Man, and it's just not that tough to look. Hey, I do have opinions. I have a past, but let me see what happened here. And by the way, I'm also allowed to say, you know, I normally go this way, but in this case, it was the opposite.
And in a lot of situations, well, the way that we should be looking at it is in the context of each stop or each incident or each story should be evaluated based on the circumstances of that situation.
Yep.
But that's just not how we operate. And let me say this real quickly about the comply part. We're just, you know, we're no one in this room is going to disrespect law enforcement. None of we would not act like Tyreek Hill.
No.
But with that aside, because we would all comply, and to me, he was complying but being disrespectful. All right? He was complying but being disrespectful.
Reluctantly at first. Yeah.
But let's say this. What part of the training in the manual was what they did? None of it. So we can sit here and we can talk about comply all we want. It's not – they're not trained where they're supposed to take that specific stop to that level.
And here's
that's just not in the manual that they're supposed to do that. They made it excessive and they made it unnecessary.
Yeah. There's also a little bit of this, too, where if you have multiple officers and the one officer is more aggressive than others, and this was a huge debate in Chauvin and the murder of George Floyd, we have to convince the other officers to step in this case, Manny, I forget his last name, Manny. We got it under control.
Yep.
Okay, Manny, let me jump in and do this a little bit. Relax. I got it. He was a bleep at the start, but now we've got him. He's out of the car. Again, we're pulling him over for a few miles over the speed limit and a seatbelt. And again, he should have kept the window up the entire time. I get that we were concerned about what could happen.
We have to calm down.
We're past that now.
We have to de-escalate. Look, I'll tell you this right now. One of the schools that I worked at years ago, one of my colleagues is the mother of Officer King, one of the young officers that was part of the George Floyd thing.
Sure.
And you think about that when you're a young officer and you're seeing these older, you know, the elders that are doing. I mean,
Chauvin was a training officer.
Yes, yes.
I mean, and Lane just came out, and that was Dave. That was a debate we had often. You chime in here too. That it is the law. It is a requirement of the officers to do it. But I also will add, it is harder. So much harder in the reality to step in when you're a few days on the force and here's a person who's a 20-year vet and you're saying, should we turn him over?
Yeah.
Should we turn him over? But you're now required to step in. But I get it. It's easy for us at 247 in a studio to have this.
And that's my point.
Theoretical conversation.
It's easier to say, well, this is just it's more complex than that.
It is. What do you want to say?
No, he's the guy that these officers were told, hey, look to him. He's the example. He's going to teach you how to do the job.
Yep. How confident are you the Twins are going to make the playoffs?
Ooh, that poll says everything.
I don't think that confident is the word. Do I think that they'll make the postseason? Yeah, but confidence? Yeah, I'm not confident.
I was the way we're playing. Surprised.
They win tonight, though. Pablo gets it done.
Yeah, Pablo right now. Right now it's Pablo.
Pablo's
Bailey, and good luck with everybody else.
Yeah.
It really is, because Richardson the last
But I'm not mad at Festa and Woods Richardson, because these guys have been put in a spot that no one thought that in this season we were going to have to lean on them.
Well, you know, another thing, you've watched.
Where's Paddock?
Like, your Royals. Look at all the players the Royals
have. Royals.
Yeah, well, you're a Casey guy.
Barbecue.
Yeah. I could go for some of that Casey barbecue.
239 right now.
Let's go. Look at the players they added. This club added a guy who I think pitched on my little league team. You know? And don't tell me payroll wasn't a part of it. Okay? And that's it. A lot could change. Alston Correa, out of nowhere, was optimistic. But we watched this before, and you're there all the time, where one day he's optimistic, next day, guess what? Relapse.
I've said this all year long. The starting rotation has exceeded my expectations. They really have. Because everybody thought that with Kenta gone and with Sonny Gray gone, they were going to massive drop. It hasn't been that.
Yeah.
So I'm going to give them props. The offense, inconsistent.
Yeah.
The biggest weakness of this team to me has been the bullpen. Duran is just, he's the most overrated twin. In the Oregon, the most overrated.
He's 22 or 24 in save chance.
We are enamored with Velo and big time spots. He screws up.
Yeah.
That's just the bottom line. Well, now I'm not going to sit here and say that
Jax has been great.
He's been great. He's the most reliable guy in that bullpen.
Oh, by far. And Sands has been a surprise. They missed Stewart, I think, a lot.
Yeah, he was great last year.
And it's not an automatic. Now they move Varland back, that he's just automatically going to be the guy he was last year. But he should have been in that bullpen a long time ago. Really do. Thank you for coming in.
Yep, it's all good.
Final pitch with H. Lake after the Twins and Angels tonight. Jason will lead us up to his show in a matter of minutes.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.